Please turn in your Bibles one last time to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. This time to the very last verse in the chapter, 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 13. And now abideth faith, hope, charity. These three, but the greatest of these is charity. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for this wonderful chapter in your word. We have looked at much of it over a period of time. We come to this last verse, this amazing statement. These three things, faith, hope, charity. The greatest of these is charity. Lord, help us to understand why you said this, and may it have an impact on our lives even today. I pray in Jesus' name, amen. Greater, a general word of comparison that has several applications: greater, larger, elder, stronger. In this context, it is not to say that something that is lesser, smaller, younger, weaker is worthless, so that it may as well be discarded. It can still have value. In fact, it can still have considerable value. But this particular thing is greater in that it has the highest value. This is not the difference between a clay pot and a crystal goblet. It's the difference between a crystal goblet that cost $90 and a crystal goblet that cost $100. No one's going to throw away a crystal goblet that cost $90 just because it didn't cost $10 more. Faith and hope are the $90 crystal goblets. They both have considerable value in the Christian life. But greater than these is charity, the $100 crystal goblet. If you were going to put these three goblets on display in your glass case, you would put charity right in the center with faith and hope on either side. All three having considerable value. But as God expresses it here in the verse, the greatest of these is charity. So let's consider why God linked these three things together. I find it quite interesting. The word faith, of course, is mentioned in verse 2 of chapter 13. It's only mentioned seven times in the entire letter of 1 Corinthians. And hope is only mentioned three times in the entire letter of 1 Corinthians, one of which is right here. None other than that in the context of chapters 12, 13, and 14. So it's interesting to me why God would now link these three things together: faith, hope, charity. So what we're going to do is we're going to look at faith in a little bit of detail, and hope, and then charity. And I think we will see why they are linked together. Would you go to John chapter 11, please? The Gospel of John, chapter 11 and verse 20. Lazarus had died, the friend of Jesus, the brother of Mary and Martha, and Jesus has come to minister to the family. And the point that I'm going to make is that there are two basic parts to faith. And the first of these is mentioned here by Jesus himself, and that is, first, we have to believe. verse 20, John chapter 11 and verse 20, then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him, but Mary sat still in the house. Then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. But I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee. Jesus saith unto her, thy brother shall rise again. Martha saith unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. And then he asks the profound question. Believest thou this? Do you believe this to be true? To believe, to come to understand, to be persuaded that something is true. Do we believe that 2 + 2 = 5? No. Do we believe that 2 + 2 = 4? Yes. But you see, believing can be simply an intellectual exercise. Because believing is only half of faith. The other half is trust. Would you go to Ephesians chapter 1, verse 12? Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 12. That we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ, in whom ye also trusted after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. So you hear the word of truth, and after you hear it and understand it and believe that it is true, then you trust it. Belief says, I know that Jesus can save me. Trust says, I know that Jesus will save me. So there's a bridge. And you're driving along and you see the sign that the bridge says, weight limit, 5,000 pounds. And you are driving a 2018 Ford Explorer. I looked it up. It weighs 4,900 pounds. Oh, but you weigh 200 pounds. And in the back, you have, what did I say, 2 100-pound sacks of cement. So now you and your truck and your load are 300 pounds over the weight limit. You're sitting there looking at the sign. You can say to yourself all day long, I believe the bridge will hold me. But you won't trust it until you start driving across. You might believe it, but do you trust it? You have to have both for saving faith. You believe and you trust. But there's another way to look at faith as well. Would you go to Romans chapter 10 and verse 17? And this has been such a theme of mine throughout the years here. Many of you can say it without even looking it up. I refer to it often because it is so foundational. The point being from Romans chapter 10 and verse 17 is that faith is based upon what we know. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. You hear the word of God, then you know what the Word of God says. Knowing what the Word of God says, you choose to believe what the Word of God says, and believing it, you decide you trust what the Word of God says. So faith comes from knowing and understanding the Word of God. I don't believe that blind faith is an accurate term. Faith certainly helps you to face things that you cannot see, but faith itself is firmly grounded in understanding biblical truth. Once you have that faith, trust then gives you the courage to face everything that comes your way, even the uncertainties of life. Hebrews chapter 11 tells us about several people of faith. We call it sometimes the hall of faith. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 7, by faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen yet. Nobody had ever seen a flood the size of the flood that was about to come upon the earth. A flood so deep it would cover the earth, consume all the earth. Who ever heard of such a thing? Noah, I want you to build this immense boat. How many of you have ever visited Noah's Ark down there in Kentucky? Several of you have. I would recommend it just for this reason alone, for you to see how big it is. They made it to scale. It is huge. It's no wonder he gave him 120 years to build it. Build this big boat, and it's going to hold all of the animals of the world. And there was a number of years ago an eyewitness testimony of somebody that claimed to have actually seen Noah's Ark. You know, about 20 years or so ago, the ice was not as thick on top of Mount Ararat as it is today, in spite of what they say about global warming. And there were Russian planes that actually took pictures of Noah's Ark, and part of it was exposed. And someone who claims to have been inside of it says he saw the rooms that were set up for people, room enough for 800 people in the ark. Noah was hoping many more would join with him. Fortunately, they didn't. But in spite of all of that, he didn't know what a worldwide flood was. He's building this immense boat in the middle of dry ground. He did it because he trusted God. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 8, by faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed, and he went out not knowing whither he went. He'd never been there before, didn't know how to get there. He had to be led by God, but he did so because he trusted God. Verse 11, through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed. She was delivered a child when she was past age. I'm too old to have a child, but I'll trust God anyway. Verse 17 in the chapter, by faith Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac. Tells us in verse 19 that he accounted that God was able to raise him up even from the dead. He had never seen anybody raised from the dead before, but he believed God could do it, and he trusted God. So it's one question to ask, do you believe? But then there is this question, do you trust God? Romans 15, verse 4, the verse that I consider my life verse, Romans chapter 15 and verse 4. Let's talk a little bit about hope. Where it says, "For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope." Just like faith, hope is rooted in what we know. We learn the scriptures, and through patience and comfort that comes from the scriptures, we have hope rooted in what we know. In fact, Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 1, you probably know this. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for. Faith is the substance of hope. Well, understanding scripture produces faith. So then faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. We know that one. James chapter 1 and verse 3. We should be familiar with this one as well. James chapter 1 and verse 3 says something about the trying of our faith. My brethren, verse 2, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. Verse 3, knowing this, that the trying of your faith, the testing of your faith, worketh patience. Okay, so we start with faith. We read the word of God. We hear the word of God. We believe and trust the word of God. We have real faith. God then takes us through some difficult times so that that faith can be developed and strengthened. And that generates patience. Would you go to Romans chapter 5, please, verses 3 and 4. Romans chapter 5, verses 3 and 4. Where it says, "And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also." Now, the word tribulations here is not the same word that James used, the trying of our faith, but it's a similar context, situation, statement, for he says, "Knowing that tribulation worketh patience." Well, what did James tell us? The trying of our faith worketh patience. This is a similar statement. The tribulation that does test our faith, develops within us patience. And then what does he say? This patience develops experience. It worketh experience. The next thing after patience is that we have now experiences that we can look back on and see how God, through the testing of our faith, developed character in our lives. And what is the end result of that? The experience of all of that then develops hope. Because when we see that our lives are positively impacted with character development through the most difficult experiences of life, we build confidence that because we have made it through those things, we can make it through anything. I then become, through the trying of my faith that develops patience, becomes experience, and develops this confidence in my life, this confidence of certainty of what God can and will do in my life, I then generally become optimistic and hopeful about everything. So that hope becomes an absolute certainty that God will keep his promises. Philippians chapter 1, verse 20. Philippians chapter 1, verse 20. According to my earnest expectation and my hope. Earnest, eager, zealous, animated, expectation, the state of anticipating something with certainty. According to my earnest expectation and my hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness as always, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death. For to me to live is Christ, to die is gain. Earnest expectation and hope. A father tells his little boy that he will be home at 4 o'clock. And when he gets home, they'll play together. Throughout the day, the little boy looks at the clock, watches the time roll around. I guess saying roll around indicates the regular face clock, not one of those digital things. Finally, the clock says 3:45, and that little boy goes to the window and looks outside with earnest expectation and hope, fully expecting that when the clock strikes 4, his father is going to pull into the driveway because his father promised he would. For 15 minutes, he looks out that window and he watches and he waits. And just as the clock strikes 4, his father drives in the driveway. That experience gives that little boy a hopeful confidence in his father that every time his father promises something, he will do it. That's hope. The hope that God has given to us. Hebrews chapter 6, verses 18 to 19 say that by two immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope that set before us, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast. Faith says, I believe everything that God has said, and I trust him to keep all of his promises. Hope says, I live in earnest expectation of him actually doing so. In fact, the hope I have in God serves as a stabilizing force in my life. And now charity says, I love God for the faith and hope he has allowed me to have. Charity is the greatest of these because charity is the pinnacle of a spiritual progress or progression in my life. Faith is the beginning point. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6, you'll remember this. But without faith it is impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is. That's where you start. But once you start with faith, you must progress through various character developments to come to the pinnacle of charity. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 5. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 5. And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith. You start with faith and you add to it. You add to your faith virtue. And to virtue, by implication, you add knowledge. And to knowledge, by implication, you add temperance. And to temperance, you add patience. which is the thing that develops hope in your life. And to patience, you add godliness. And to godliness, you add brotherly kindness. And to brotherly kindness, you come to the pinnacle of charity. Do you remember the verse that I read at the beginning of the service? Colossians chapter 3 and verse 14. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. The word perfectness refers to full maturity. You have fully grown up in Christ when you come to the point where you can truly love as God loves. Faith and hope make charity possible. You see, it is the uncertainties of life that make me focused on myself. 1 John chapter 4 and verse 18 says, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear hath torment. Being afraid of things in life is distracting, terribly so. Psalm 88 and verse 15 actually uses that word. Psalm 88 and verse 15 actually uses the word distracted. It's interesting to me that this word is in Scripture in this context. Psalm 88 and verse 15, I am afflicted and ready to die from my youth up. While I suffer thy terrors, I am distracted. Whew. Distracted. What does it mean to be distracted? You can't focus on what you need to focus on. Too many things going on in your life that consume your thoughts, that consume your emotions. You're overwhelmed. And when you're distracted, it becomes all about yourself. You can't think about anybody else. You're so intense, withdrawn, internalizing everything. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 8 and 9 describe for us various circumstances. The Apostle Paul successfully dealt with them, 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And verse 8, he says, we are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. But if you take away the but not part, it describes for us what it means to be distracted. Troubled and distressed. Perplexed and in despair. Persecuted and feel forsaken, cast down and expect to be destroyed. And I have no idea what I'm going to do about any of it. Fear makes me selfish and self-centered. I am moved by fear to protect myself. I am moved by fear to provide for myself. I am moved by fear to do whatever is necessary to survive. And I have no energy left to love anyone else. But faith and hope is the reason there is no fear in love. Faith and hope remove fear from my life. Faith gives me the courage to face uncertainties, and hope changes uncertainties into confidence. Without having to worry about what is going to happen to me, I am no longer distracted, so that now I am able to concentrate all of my energies on loving and serving God and loving and serving others, which, by the way, are the two greatest commandments. Faith and hope are certainly important. But faith and hope are designed not to be the end, but to be the means to the end. Faith and hope are designed to produce love in us, or at the very least, to allow us the freedom to love. You say you want to be a doctor, so you go to the hospital and fill out an application to become a doctor. Is that what you do? How quickly do you think you'd become a doctor that way? No, first you have to complete a pre-med undergraduate degree, and then you have to complete a graduate medical education program, and then you have to complete a residency program, and all of this can take at least 11 years or more. You say you want to love God and love others. You want to love God with all your heart and all your soul and all your mind and all your strength. You have to start with faith. That's where it begins. If you don't believe in God, how are you going to love God? If you don't trust God, you won't ever love Him. Not truly. You start with faith, and then you build hope into your life. Through the experiences of the trying of your faith in which patience is developed, that experience produces a confidence in you that says, because of what God has done in my life, I have confidence in what God will do in my life. And with faith and hope as a foundation, you then have the freedom to fulfill the greatest commandments of all. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment, and the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. And now abideth faith, hope, charity. These three. And faith and hope are very, very, very valuable. But the greatest of these is charity. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you. Thank you for the privilege it is to believe and trust in you. Thank you for building in our lives a confidence, a hope of certainty, so that we can live without fear and know that you will keep all your promises. And thank you that with the absence of fear, we're free to love. We can take the emphasis off of ourselves and we can think about others. Thank you for the privilege it is to have faith and hope and charity. May our lives glorify you with these three things. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.